Good afternoon. What a pleasure to be with you once again. This year has been a little unusual. I haven't come every month like normal, schedule conflicts and such, but every time I come, I rejoice. This is my second family, and I feel really at home here. I'm not going to tell the people in Cleveland that, but, amen. Last year, June, you remember I came here and I kept checking my phone because my daughter was about to have the baby, right? Well, she's having contractions and it might be any time. I just checked my cell phone and nothing yet. So I'm like, right? But hopefully sometime this week, we're praying that it won't be Saturday because we are going to bring some people to the retreat. So pray that the baby's born before that so that we can come, right? Amen? All right. I drank coffee to keep myself awake. Hopefully you did the same, right? Especially after that big giant meal we just had. I'm praying that you do remain awake. Okay, what we're going to look at today is the name and nature of God. And I guess what motivated me to do this is that I sat down with a young man assuming that he had the same doctrine, that he understood basic fundamental Bible teaching. And as I sat with him and we started talking about doctrine, I realized that he was somewhere else. And that taught me to never assume, right? As we kept looking at every doctrine, like, wow, I'm not sure where this person got this information from, but it was not sound. And so this is a basic fundamental study about God that I was very blessed with, and I pray that it will bless you, even though it is in many ways basic, but it's always good to study God, learn about God, and understand His nature. I will say that Mark Driscoll's book on Who is God is where I took the outline from, verbatim. I loved it, and so this is what you're going to be seeing. It's not my outline, it's his. But I really enjoyed it. This is a great book, by the way, great resource to have in your library. Also, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Everyone should have that book in your library and read it. It'll bless you and give you a good foundation as far as your doctrine, your faith. Okay, so let's get going. And what I'm going to do is have a lot of you participate. We're going to make a little where y'all can participate and we'll all kind of do it together. Kind of like a Bible study. It's kind of like a home Bible study in a church atmosphere kind of thing. All right, so let's go for it. The names and nature of God. And now you may have heard some of these songs, or some of these names in songs and in different ways. And a lot of times we don't even know what they mean. So hopefully this will bless you as it did me as I prepared. Okay, number one, we have the expression Yahweh or Jehovah. And it means the self-existent one. I am. It emphasizes His holiness, hatred of sin, and love of sinners. So remember when Moses said, when I go to Egypt, who do I say sent me? And he said, I am the self-existing one. So that's what Jehovah means. In case you're reading, you're like, well, what does that mean? That's what that means, the self-existing one. Then we have the next word is Elohim, which means the strong one, the true God who is more powerful than false gods, God's sovereignty, and God's word. You notice that I have on there Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word used there is Elohim, the strong one who's the creator. That's the word that's used there. And so in Exodus, the word Jehovah is used. In Genesis 1:1, it's Elohim. And there's some other verses there. If y'all want to look at them later or write them down or whatever. But we'll have some of you read in a minute some of these verses, some other verses. Okay, then we have the word Adonai. Adonai, you might remember that word from the song, right? From Michael Card, Amy Grant. When you talk about Adonai Elohim, Adonai means Lord and Master. If someone can read Joshua 5:14, and marks God out as the ruler over all people, times, places, and things. So Adonai means Lord and Master. So Jehovah is the self-existent one. Elohim, the strong one, who's a creator. Adonai is Lord and Master. Somebody have Joshua 5:14 yet?
And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto this servant?
So we can see that Joshua, when he said that word, Adonai, I'm your Lord and Master, what was his response as he understood this reality? He bowed down and basically said, What do you want me to do? You're the boss. You're in charge. I'm bowing down to you, Adonai, the Lord and Master. Okay, then we have the compound Old Testament names with El. All right, so we have El Elyon, means the Most High, exalted, the strongest one among the strong. And so, if somebody wants to read Genesis 14:19, you can also see Psalm 9:2 and some of these verses, but just one verse, because we have a lot of information I want to get through. But just so you can know, El Elyon means the Most High, the exalted one, the strongest one. Okay, go ahead and read it.
And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Okay, so there you see that expression, and in the Hebrew is El Elyon. Okay, then we have El Roy. I like this one. Genesis 16:13, somebody read it, but I love what it means, what it stands for. The strong one who sees everything. As I was studying and I read that he is El Roy, and I said, the strong one that sees everything, guess what I did immediately? I confessed some sin, right? It's like, ooh, yeah, you see everything. I forgot, that's right. And so immediately brought conviction to my heart. I said, Lord, you saw it. Nobody else saw it, but you did. So the Most High Exalted One, El Elyon, El Roy, is the strong one who sees everything. Read it. Who's got it?
Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Are the God who sees, for she said, Have I also here seen him who sees me?
That's right, and she thought she was going to die, right? And then she realizes God was there and seeing what was going on in my life. He wasn't unaware of it. And so we're going to, just for time's sake, just read one verse per description. Okay, then we have El Shaddai. A lot of you are probably familiar with that word, right, that term. El Shaddai, it means the Almighty One. It points to his gracious power. Genesis 17:1. Come on, gentlemen, you're going to be exercising yourself today. Genesis 17:1.
And Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless.
That's right. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, walk before me. Wow. Tremendous. And so that's another thing about the Lord, about his name. His name has meaning. Okay, then we have El Olam, means the everlasting God, the unchanging God. Isaiah 40:28. Also, it could be quoted in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, right? The everlasting God, the unchanging God. All right, somebody read it. Amen. Wow, that was excellent. Thank you. I love that. A young, brave man. Yes. So he is El Olam, the everlasting God, the unchanging God. Wow, aren't you glad God doesn't change? We change constantly, but God is consistent. Okay, then with Jehovah. So we have Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22:13-14. All right, the Lord will provide. And how many times... doesn't the Lord test us, and the funds are short, and you're wondering how you're going to make it, and then you're reminded, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for me, right? And so, well, what a blessing to have that as one of his names that expresses a reality about him. Okay, somebody read it.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall be seen.
Amen. And so the Lord doesn't only provide for our material needs, that when we have him, but he also provided a savior, right? All right, Jehovah Jireh, who provided a savior. All right, next we have Jehovah Nissi. I know I did a wedding and the girl's name was Nissi. That's cool. Exodus 17:15, the Lord my banner. Somebody read that quickly and then I'll give a little description.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi.
All right, and what it means is banner. Now, I was trying to think of how to explain it, how to illustrate it. I looked at some commentaries, and the way I can best describe it is this way. Let's just say that El Salvador, that tiny little nation in Central America, says that they're going to come and declare war on the United States, and they raise up their flag, and they were like, well, we raise up the United States flag. Whose side do you want to be on? Whose side do you want to be on? I think that's a no-brainer, right? They have no chance. I mean, we can send the state of Iowa out there and they can defeat San Salvador, right? El Salvador. They wouldn't have any chance. And what represents all this power? The flag of the United States, right? And so they lifted up the banner because Jehovah Nissi gave them the victory over the enemy, right? And so Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Then we have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. This is probably the one that's most familiar to many of you. You probably know this one, right? Shalom, it means peace. Judges 6:24.
So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace.
Amen.
It's still in the
world. Right, thank you. And also we can go to John in the New Testament. Don't go there, but just listen. John chapter 14, when the Lord said, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. And so the Lord not only is the Lord my peace, but he gives us his peace. And we have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Okay, Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angels. And while somebody reads 1 Samuel 1:3, someone think of a New Testament parallel when he says that he is the Lord over all the angels, all the angelic being. All right, so somebody read 1 Samuel 1:3 first. Go ahead. Come on, gentlemen.
And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh.
Okay, the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the Lord of hosts means Sabaoth, the Lord Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of angels. And we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, 16, and 17 that the Lord is above all powers and all angelic beings, right? And so that's the same idea. So Jesus Christ is the Lord above all angels. You remember Colossians, they wanted to worship angels. And the book was written to say, why would you bow to an angel when Jesus is the Lord of the angels? Amen? And so Jehovah Sabaoth. The next one would be Jehovah Makedeshim, the Lord your sanctifier. Exodus 31:13. And someone think of a New Testament parallel. Let's see how well you know your Bibles. Think about it. Don't let me give you the answer every time. So, all right, Exodus 31:13. Somebody read it.
Speak also to the children of Israel, say, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord sanctifies you.
Okay, and so the Lord of sight sanctified means to set apart, right? And so a New Testament parallel. You just, come on, guys. Huh? The Holy Spirit sanctifying us, right? Setting us apart. That's right. Okay, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23. We already looked at a shepherd in the earlier study, so you should be able to come up with a New Testament parallel, gentlemen. You better come up with one in a minute, right? So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You don't have to even, I already said it, right? Psalm 23:1. I think a lot of people know that one in particular. All right, New Testament parallel.
John 10:27.
Okay.
My sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me.
That's right. And you have returned to the shepherd and garden of your soul. 1 Peter 2:21. And right? And so the great shepherd, Jehovah Ra. I was thinking As I was studying this, I wonder why it wasn't Jehovah Ba, you know, like a lamp, Ba, no? Anyway, my wife tells me I'm not good at telling jokes, now you know why, huh? Okay, so then next we have Jehovah Tiskinu, hopefully I said that right, the Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, and somebody think about a New Testament parallel. All right, hopefully you'll be able to quote it, so important. All right, so Jehovah Tiskinu, the Lord is our righteousness. Somebody read it. Come on. Jeremiah 23:6. Somebody who's not Leslie, not Dr. Leslie, somebody else. Come on.
In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
That's right. The Lord our righteousness. New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf so that we can become the righteousness of God. Right? So there you go, your New Testament parallel. All right, very good. Next, Jehovah Gamola. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Again, if I didn't, forgive me. The Lord our recompense. All right? Jeremiah 51:56, and somebody think about a New Testament parallel as we're looking at this. Come on, guys. You have to know New Testament parallel to this. All right, so Jeremiah 51:56.
The destroyer will come against that mount. Their warriors will be captured and their hosts will be broken. For the Lord is the God of retribution. He will repay in full.
That's right. God is going to repay in full all his enemies. Right? And so, amen. What's a New Testament parallel? I can give you the book if you want. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 1, right? Where the Lord is going to repay. He's going to pay them back for all the evil they did against them, the New Testament believers. Right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Come on, people. We need to have our Bibles memorized. Let's go to Jehovah Nekah. Hopefully I pronounced that right. The Lord who smites. And it has to do the same thing with recompense, that he's going to destroy, to punish the enemy. Ezekiel 7:9. The New Testament parallel, Revelation. We just give you the whole book, right? Revelation. Amen. Ezekiel 7:9. Go ahead.
My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will pity you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst.
Right.
I am
so sorry. Thank you. So the Lord, in other words, is going to make everything right. He's going to make everything right. All the injustice, all that he's going to smite. Okay? That's what that means. Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present. Wow, isn't that beautiful? I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. There you go, your New Testament parallel. Hebrews 13? First two verses? No, the verse 4. All right? Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present. Somebody have it? Ezekiel 48:35. Go ahead.
All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there.
The Lord is there, right? Because we're going to be in the heavenly city, and the Lord's going to be ever present. Amen. Isn't that exciting to know that that's true? Okay, let's continue. Jesus, the name is Jehovah is salvation, his name. In the Old Testament, he's called the Christ, was the equivalent to Messiah. Right? So in other words, Jesus is God, his name is salvation, and Jesus referred by the most sacred Old Testament name for God, I am. So just look at this, I am the light of the world, I am God who is the light of the world, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, where he says you have to take me in completely and I will give you eternal life and you will not lose your eternal life. I am the living water. Again, John chapter 4, John chapter 7. I am the resurrection and the life. Come on, John what? Chapter? 11. Chapter 11. Amen. Chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not perish. Right? But you have everlasting life right now, presently. Okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where? John 14:6. Very good. Praise God. And so, as we look at God, we can see how every one of his names, and every time he's referred to it, every part, every aspect of God blesses our life, right? The ever-present one, the one who provides, the one who's going to make things right, the one who never changes. And what a blessing. I am the good shepherd, John 10, right? Amen. Okay, so then let's learn a little bit more about God. God is omniscient. You know what that means, right? Or omniscience. I tell them when I'm preaching to little kids. Omniscient means what? He's ever unknowing. Very good. And omnipotent means all-powerful, right? Immutability. Immutable, doesn't change. God is eternal. You know what that means? Self-existent. I am, right? The self-existing God. He's sovereignty. He's transcendent. And he's a creator. So let's look at a little more description. God is ever-present, all-powerful, all-knowing God who is not being controlled by external forces and does not depend on anyone to exist. He is a creator who is who brought all things into existence out of nothing solely by his power. Wow. You actually believe that? Yes, we do. With great conviction. With great conviction. God is fully distinct from the universe he created. That means transcendent. And is supreme ruler and authority over all things. So he created a beautiful world, right, including us. But he's distinct from his creation. Because God is perfect in all things and remains the same, even when we change, we can trust him. We can trust him. So some poetic images of God. The bridegroom, the husband, the father, the judge. Now, all of this blesses us, right? And for example, John chapter 3, the John the Baptist says, when I see the bridegroom, I'm full of joy. And then the husband, Ephesians chapter 5, and there's other descriptions, Romans 7. And of course, the father all over the Bible. He's the judge, he's the warrior, the designer and builder, the shepherd, the king, the singer, the potter, the farmer, the refiner, and the knitter. Those are all the ways God is involved in our lives. So all of these poetic images are meant, God trying to explain to us or reveal to us through all of these different expressions how he's involved in my life. And so he's a very personal God that's working in my life. So you know the refiner's fire, and then the bottom one, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you for I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, right? And so poetic images of Jesus, the chief shepherd of the sheep, tongue twister, the teacher and Lord. If you call me teacher and Lord, why don't you do what I say? Remember, Luke, right? And then King of Kings, 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, Revelation, and he's the Lord of Lords, Revelation chapter 19. Very good. He's a shepherd and overseer of our soul, the morning star. Just in case you're wondering about that one, Revelation chapter 3. He is the deliverer, the advocate. Where does it say advocate in the Bible? Where does it say advocate? John 14, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And that same word is used also in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, right? We have an advocate, right? We have an advocate. That's Jesus, our lawyer, defender, that defends us. Because when he saves us, we belong to him. We have been justified in the Lord Jesus. The second Adam, Romans 5. Ancient of Days, Daniel 7. The chief cornerstone? Huh? 1 Peter 2 and also in the Psalms, right? Very good. Then we have Emmanuel? Matthew. And then in the Old Testament? Isaiah, that's right. Isaiah chapter 7, right? And then we have God is with us. The firstborn? Colossians chapter 1, that's right, he is the firstborn. All right. The head of the church? Ephesians chapter 1, right, the latter part. The physician, Luke chapter 4, physician, heal yourself. The rock, Matthew 7, right? Blessed, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The chief apostle, the great high priest, Hebrews. Founder and perfecter of faith, Hebrews 12, right? The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation, that's right. The Lord God Almighty. Revelation as well. That's right. Correct. Then we have the emotions of God. So in other words, God is a person, even though he's invisible, even though he's beyond us, he also has emotions. And so we can read throughout the Bible that he has anger. Jesus was angry because he's God too. Sorrow. Don't we sing? Man of sorrows. Pleasure. He shows pleasure. This is my beloved son in whom I take pleasure. Jealousy. Right? I am jealous for you with a great jealousy. He loves us. We know that he's a God of love. 1 John. Wrath of God. The humor of God. What about the humor? Where would that be found? I like to look at it as Psalm chapter 2. The Lord laughs at them, right? Because their day is coming, right? And the hatred of God, he hates those who oppose him. The joy of the Lord, the compassion of the Lord is full of compassion. The Spirit, shared attributes. This is important. Even though God is transcendent, the eternal God who created us, there's some things that he created in us that we share with him, attributes that we share with God. So in other words, we were created in the image of God, and consequently we have a spirit. God is spirit, and we also are spirit. We're just encased in a body. Right? That's right. Okay? And so God is holy. Now, even though he's perfect holiness, we can also display holiness as God works in our lives, right? And so we share that. He said, be holy like I'm holy. Share attributes. And then we're also capable of loving and doing good things. As God is love and he's full of goodness, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is love and goodness, right? That's all included. And he's the truth. We can also be people who believe the truth, who follow the truth, who teach the truth. And God is a God of mercy. We can also be merciful, right? And a God of beauty. He's beautiful. Psalm 84, I want to go into the temple of the Lord to see the beauty of the Lord, right? But we also are capable of creating beautiful things. We're very creative in the way God made us. And the earth he created is beautiful, and we can keep it that way, right? And we're what a beautiful thing to be able to have these shared attributes with God. Then we have, well, here's a couple of thoughts about God, and I'll go ahead and close out with this because we're running out of time. This was more like an outline form, but just to give you information about God, take so you can go home and think about all this. All right? Here's something that William Peterson said. God is too kind to do anything cruel. Think about that. He's too wise to make a mistake because he's absolutely perfect in all his ways. And he's too deep to explain himself. You know, when Job kept asking why, God never told him why. He doesn't owe us an explanation, but he's still too deep anyway to explain it, so we wouldn't understand. So I'm blessed by this. He's too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, and too deep to explain himself. All right, a couple other things. God is slow to anger, full of mercy and grace. He's patient, he's kind, and full of compassion. God is full of love and ready to forgive when we repent and we return to him, or we turn to him. And finally, we will enjoy God throughout all eternity. Isn't it great to think about God and just talk about him a little bit? Wow, praise his name. And all of this is in Scripture. And that's what he has revealed to us about himself. All right, dear God, to think about you, to study you, we're just amazed. We feel so small, and yet we matter to you. and you want us to enjoy you and to glorify you. And we do, we bow to you. Lord, how can we not trust you, being that all of this is true of you? Blessed be your name. Thank you for this fellowship, Lord, and we pray that the rest of this day would be also glorifying to you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.